You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Fans, happy Wednesday and happy free agency day. You're listening to Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you all sorts of news and today fun stuff about the Los Angeles Kings every day of the week on your favorite podcast network of choice. Today's show is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. You can go and download the Green Room app and talk to sports fans across the world about the biggest breaking news, just like the stuff we're going to talk about today. My name is Sarah Avampato, host of this show, and I am glad to be here finally with some actual news about the Los Angeles Kings. It is, of course, free agency day, and the Kings have made, right now, four moves, two for the NHL level, two for the AHL level, and we are going to get into all of those today with some sort of basic information about each of them. We'll have more information later this week and next week from some fellow hosts and media personalities who know these players well. And then at the end of the show today, we will talk about just some of the other big free agency moves that have been happening today, because we're going to have some new faces in the Pacific Division and some familiar faces returning who we're going to get to see all the time this season. So let's start with the big one, and that is the Kings signing Phil Deneau. He was previously with the Montreal Canadiens, was doing duties as their first line center there, which is a role that he carried out admirably, but is a role that he also should not have been in because Phil Deneau is basically like newer, Frencher Jarrett Stoll, essentially, playing that same kind of role of defensive-focused forward. Remember Chicago and remember playing against Marcus Krueger and how Marcus Krueger basically started like 98% of his shifts in the defensive zone. That's basically the profile of what Phil Deneau is. And what he projects to be for this team. He signed a deal for 6 years with the Kings, average value of $5.5 million. He is 28 years old. He has been in the league for a while between Montreal and Chicago, where he got his start. He was a first-round draft pick of the Blackhawks back in 2011 before getting traded to Montreal in a trade that, like, I feel like was like the beginning of the end in terms of Stan Bowman just getting totally fleeced by teams. Because, boy, Chicago probably wishes they had Phil Deneau right now. I know a lot of people don't love this move, because of the fact that it's like, well, but we already have a bajillion centers, and where's Quentin Byfield going to go? And we have all of these guys, like, what are we going to do with them? Well, A, some of them are going to move to wing. B, guys like Blake Lizotte are, unfortunately for him, probably going to get pushed out of the lineup. What this does as well is frees up Andre Kopitar from having to take on like every single possible defensive assignment that there is. Yes, the Kings have a lot of prospects. Yes, obviously Quentin Byfield is the number one center of the future. None of them are ready yet. No one else on this team has proven to me that they are like actually an NHL caliber center that they can be trusted in the defensive zone, that they can be trusted to win the important faceoff in the last minute of the game, other than Andre Kopitar. Phil Deneau takes some of that pressure off of Kopitar. It gives you now two centers who basically can go out there and just destroy. Teams are now going to have to pick between, do we want to have to go up against Kopitar, who's going to try to prevent us from doing anything cool with the puck, or do we want to go up against Phil Deneau, who's going to try to do the same thing? I think one of the biggest points in his favor, all you have to do is look at Montreal's series against Vegas in the playoffs. And Mark Stone, who is one of the best players in hockey, who just like scores because he looks at the net, did absolutely nothing in that series. And it was because he was consistently matched up against Phil Deneau's line, and they really, really limited his chances. I think he had like a 30% expected goals for or something. It was something incredibly low. Stone even like admitted that that was a frustrating experience. And I think that, you know, for the Kings, looking at the Pacific Division, looking at a potential return to the playoffs and a path to getting out of the first round, the Kings know that they are eventually going to have to go through the Vegas Golden Knights. There is no way around it. I mean, I guess Vegas could crash and burn somehow, but I don't think they will. The Kings have to go through Vegas. And seeing what Deneau did against Vegas, against Mark Stone, how he shut him down in that playoff series, of course the Kings are going to want this guy. Because now you have Kopitar and Deneau that Vegas are going to have to decide where they're sending Mark Stone out at. Now, I will say that, like, A, Deneau is not an offensive specialist. This isn't a Kopitar situation where you know he could provide more offense, but has kind of sacrificed that in respect to really focusing on bringing out the defensive side of his game. No, Deneau has never been that guy. Like, maybe in juniors, he spent his juniors career with the Quebec Major Junior League, where he played with Victoriaville Tigers. He was a more than a point per game player in juniors. In 243 games, he had 251 points. In the AHL and the NHL, he is fairly consistently just below half a point. So AHL 0.43 points per game, NHL 0.51 points per game. He has 392 NHL games to his name, 199 points. So he is not an offense guy. And I think that, like, that's okay, because what he brings to this team defensively is going to be so important. It is going to be, again, this is going to help cut down on the minutes that Andrei Kopitar has to play. You can save him from having to play quite as many minutes per night. I know he's going to hate it, but, like, all these older players have to deal with it, that they can't play 30 minutes a night anymore. And so, I mean, he does have some offense. It's not like he never scores goals. He had 5 in 53 games last season with Montreal. He had 13 in 71 games the season before, which is his career high. He will be a good depth scoring option. He will be good at helping his teammates out. He certainly played a lot in Montreal with higher scoring forwards like Nick Suzuki, like Cole Caulfield, like Tyler Toffoli. So he's no stranger to playing on a line that is offensively focused. It's just not always his thing. And, like, that is okay. He is someone who can be and will be bumped down the lineup. I think he may start as the 2C for the Kings this season, but I think that there is no issue if he gets bumped down to 3C. I think that, you know, looking at some of the other contracts that have been handed out today alone, yes, this could be something that could be problematic in the final years of his contract. Like I said, he's 28. This is a 6-year contract. I can't do math, but, like, that's, like, what, his mid-30s or something? Defensive forwards don't always age that gracefully, but look at Andrei Kopitar. Like, he is still at the top of his game in his mid-30s, or early 30s, I guess. Is there a chance that year 5 and 6 of this might be a little, like, ugh, gross? Yeah, possibly, but I think that we are seeing so many people overpay for forwards who are way worse than Phil Deneau that I can't fault this deal too much. I think this buys time for Quentin Byfield to see where he fits into the NHL, to see exactly how ready he is to take on top competition. Remember, there's an agreement sort of in place between the NHL and the OHL that will allow players who otherwise would have had to return to juniors again this year because of the age rule, where if you're not over 20, or if you're not 20 and over, you have to either go to the NHL or you have to go back to juniors. There's no AHL, but guys like Byfield got to play in the AHL last year because there was no OHL season. Recognizing that, like, it's going to be really ridiculous for some of these guys who played the whole year against men to go back and play against 16 and 17 year olds this season is stupid. There is an agreement in place to allow those guys to play back in the AHL. So we could potentially see Quentin Byfield in the AHL, but this gives him time. This gives the team time to figure out what they want to do with him. This gives the team time to figure out who's moving to wing, who's doing what, where do guys like Rasmus Kupari, Jared Anderson Dolan, Alex Turcotte, Akil Thomas, like, where are they all going to slot in? And I think that, you know, having a guy like Kopitar for everyone to learn from and now having Jeannot, who was also fantastic on faceoffs, one of the best faceoffs guys in the league. I just really love this move. I think that it is right now very low risk. Like I said, in the future, in the final years of his contract, it could look different. It's going to be way less terrifying than some of these other contracts that have been handed out today. We're going to talk with Laura Saba of Locked On Canadiens later in the week about Phil Deneau because she's watched him for the past several years with Montreal. I, of course, covered him. I got my start in hockey covering Chicago, so I have always kind of loved him as watching him as a prospect with Chicago. So I feel like everything's come a little full circle. But you'll hear from Laura later this week or possibly next week about Phil Deneau, what he brings to the team, and what we can expect from him. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at some of the other signings that the Kings have made. But first, you should be looking at Spotify Green Room because it is the first social audio platform made just for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with sports fans, athletes, insiders, bloggers, writers, podcasters, and really anyone all about your favorite team or favorite sport. Green Room is a great place to have conversations just like this about who your team is signing, who your free agents are, what you want to see happen next. You can go and find fans just like you on Green Room. So go download the free Green Room app right now. It's available on all iOS devices and also now on Android. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NHL group for the latest league updates. You will find a ton to talk about there, so go check out Green Room today. Green Room, it is changing the way we talk sports. We've also got Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar that is out there. It is not just delicious, it is not just healthy, but it is also officially the protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. So it is not just powering podcasters and bloggers like me, it's also powering actual real athletes. Built Bar comes in a ton of great flavors, including my own personal favorite, cookies and cream. If you can't decide on the flavor that you like, make sure to check out the mixed box option where you'll get two of each of the flavors so you can make up your mind as to which is your own personal Built Bar favorite. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, so one of the other moves the Kings made hasn't been officially announced yet, but Rob Blake did confirm it in his media availability today, which is signing defenseman Alexander Edler from the Vancouver Canucks for a one-year deal, $3.5 million. He is 35 years old, has spent his entire career with the Canucks, and will help kind of shore up that left side of the defense for the Kings. The Kings had been rumored to be looking for another kind of veteran defenseman. I had thought they were going to go with someone maybe with a little more offensive upside, but instead they get Alexander Edler for a year. He certainly is on the down part of his career, 8 points in 52 games with Vancouver last season, although he had 33 points in 59 games the year before. So you know, Vancouver is also just bad. So, like, who knows, man. He'll provide kind of more veteran presence experience for the back end. We do have a bit too many defenders right now, though, so I'm really curious to see what's going to happen when you look at Cap Friendly, when you look at the guys currently on defense for the Kings. We've got Doughty, Edler, Olimata, Matt Roy, Sean Walker, Mikey Anderson, Tobias Bjornfoot, Christian Wolanin, who was signed for another year. And then, of course, we also have guys like Cale Clegg and Austin Strand, both of whom had NHL experience this past season. So that is like 10 guys who they need to find spots for. And we have room for 6 defensemen. So obviously your regulars are going to be Doughty, Roy, Walker, Anderson. That's 4. And the other 2 open defensive spots are going to rotate between the other 6 guys. Like, I don't really know what's going to happen there. Like, are they moving someone? Okay, cool. If they didn't have Olimata, I wouldn't be as, like, WTF about this. We all know Olimata's not good, but now you have 2 potentially slower, not good defensemen on your left side. Like, what do you do with them? Well, Lannan, I think, was always going to be kind of a tweener, probably going to spend his season in Ontario, but able to come up. Clegg and Strand both have to pass through waivers if they want to be put in Ontario, so you would think that they wouldn't do that to them. Bjornfoot and Mikey Anderson can go through without waivers. Why would you especially Mikey Anderson, why would you put him in the AHL? So I'm really confused as to what's going to happen with the defense, how this is going to shake out. We've right now got too many cooks in the kitchen or too many people, not enough chairs. I don't know. We've got a lot of defensemen, and I don't know where we're putting them all. That sure is a move that the Kings made. We'll be talking with Justin Morissette, hopefully former host of Locked On Canucks, about Edler and sort of his career and saying goodbye to Vancouver and what he could possibly be bringing to the Kings at this late stage in his career. So keep an eye or an ear out, I guess, for that later on this week or next week. The Kings also made two signings that are destined for the AHL. They're two-way contracts, so the players could have the option of coming up to the NHL if needed. They signed forward TJ Tynan and goaltender Garrett Sparks. I love 50% of this, and I don't love 50% of this. Both guys get two-way, one-year contracts at the NHL, average value of $750,000, obviously significantly less when they're in the AHL. Sparks last year split his time between the Stockton Heat in the AHL and the Orlando Solar Bears in the ECHL. He didn't do very good with Stockton, 5-10-0. He got his start with the Toronto Maple Leafs, has bounced around a little bit since then, played with the Vegas Golden Knights organization, but has primarily been an AHL goalie. He helped lead the Marlies to the Calder Cup in the 2017-18 year. He was goaltender of the year. He also has a bad attitude and isn't necessarily the kind of goaltender who I would want being the influence for my young goalies. I covered Garrett Sparks when he played in Chicago with the Chicago Wolves in the AHL, and I will be honest, I wasn't impressed. His stats were good, but he also was playing behind a pretty juggernaut AHL team in that year's Wolves team. He has the tendency to get very frustrated very easily, and obviously I'm not in the room. I am not a player. All I get is the media perspective of things, but in talking with him after particularly tough games, he would occasionally shift blame to his teammates and not really take ownership of his own mistakes if the Wolves happen to lose. I have no idea how his teammates perceive him. I don't know if they like him. I don't know if they love playing with him. I don't know if his attitude was just bad to us in the media, but I have never particularly been impressed. He also, several years ago, got into some hot water regarding some social media comments that he made that he was allegedly appropriately chastised for, but did he learn a lesson? I'm going to go with no. I don't love this one. I know the Kings wanted a third goalie who could fit that sort of experienced role, who could be called up to the NHL if needed, if something were to happen to Quick or to Peterson, and really someone who can provide a sort of guidance, mentor, elder statesman figure to Matt Vilalta or Jacob Ingham or Lucas Parikh or whoever is down there. I just wish it was a guy who I thought was maybe a better person and also a better goaltender. He has had some good years. I can't deny that. He was spectacular in that run for the Marlies, but the Marlies were also a bit of a juggernaut that year too. They just buzzsawed through every team that they met, essentially. But like I said, having covered him from a media perspective, don't love it. Don't love it. Don't think that he is necessarily the right person for this team. Can't say that I'm particularly sad about the fact that I don't live in or near Ontario and won't you know, be able to cover him in person. Don't love that one. But he does give the Kings in the rain the goaltender depth that they had been looking for. I kind of wish they'd stuck with Troy Grosnick, but Troy Grosnick is headed to the Providence Bruins, I believe. So that's a no there. The other signing, though, I love. I love the fact that the Kings signed TJ Tynan to a deal. I also covered him when he was with the Chicago Wolves, where he was fantastic. He most recently was with the Colorado Eagles in the AHL, had a couple of games up with the Avalanche, too. He was a Pacific Division All-Star. He was the MVP of the AHL this past season. He has previously won a Calder Cup with at the time, Lake Erie Monsters, the AHL team for the Columbus Blue Jackets. He, when I covered him, led the AHL in assists during 2018-19. He is just a great driver of offense. He has, throughout his AHL career, always excelled at scoring. That is who he is. In a 436 AHL games, he has 348 points. He is definitely a driver of offense. He played on a Wolves team that was one of those teams where everything just went right at the right moment, but he was a huge part of it, a huge part of all of the scoring that they did, and was definitely very much looked up to by a lot of the young players on that team as a leader. He wore a letter for that team. He was captain of the Colorado Eagles this past season, and is someone who, as a media member talking to him, I thought that he always had very insightful things to say about the game. I didn't necessarily get the, like, oh, pucks in deep kind of stuff that you get from a lot of players. I thought he was very thoughtful about what was going on and really has that sort of championship presence. Just overall a pretty good guy that from my perspective of having covered him for a little while. So I'm really excited about that. The Reign, just adding him alone, are going to be significantly improved in terms of scoring. I don't know what's happening with the rest of the team, but he is a huge, huge addition for the Reign, and could really help this team take a step forward. So I'm excited to see him. I think that's a great deal. He does have NHL experience, a little bit of it. So I guess if you do need to call someone up and it's like you need someone to be on your fourth line and you're not going to be like, ah, here you go, Akil Thomas, play for 4 minutes a night. Tynan is one of those guys who you can call up. He should have no problem passing through waivers. Although, I don't know, I guess if some team wanted to get really feisty, like, and wanted to add scoring for the AHL team, no, I think it will be fine. But I really, really like that signing because he was just great every time I've seen him in the AHL. Just a very driven player. Undersized, he is probably not much taller than me, and I'm like 5'4", 5'5". So a little bit of a smaller guy, but I'm excited for you guys to see him. I've really enjoyed him, and he was a pain to play against when he was with the Eagles this past season. So Reign fans could already be very familiar with him. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at some of the other big deals that have happened today in the NHL, because, oh boy, some of these teams are getting real feisty. Before we get into that, though, betonline.ag is here for you to bet on all of your sports action. So whatever sport it is you're into, if it is baseball, if it's football, which is getting started up, I'm sure there's something you can do with the NBA draft. Any sport you can imagine, you can find on betonline.ag. You can get news, odds, information, sign-up bonuses, contests, and much more all on their website. So get into the game. Head over to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That is betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So we've seen some big moves today. One of the biggest moves that really happened yesterday was the free agency that didn't happen, which is the Colorado Avalanche agreeing to terms with Gabriel Landeskog, who had been rumored to just be frustrated and on his way out because of the way those negotiations were going. But they came to an agreement, and he is back in Colorado. I believe there was a quote that says, wants to spend the rest of his career there. So we will be seeing a lot of him in the future. The Kings did make one move as well in re-signing Andreas Athanasiou. He got a one-year contract for $2.7 million. This was after the Kings gave him his qualifying offer. Athanasiou, I think, last season had to play bigger, tougher minutes than maybe he should have. I think that if we can get him on that third line, playing a little bit reduced minutes in less tough situations, he can help continue to provide depth scoring, again, something that the Kings basically never have. So I don't mind this deal. It's, like I said, it's a one-year deal. He will be an unrestricted free agent at the end of it, so no further anything for him. There's no, you know, if the Kings want to re-sign him, they can, but there's no restricted free agent, there's no arbitration, there's no qualifying offers. He will just be able to go if the Kings do not want to continue with him. But so we have him locked down for one more year. One of the players who we haven't heard anything about yet, who had occasionally been linked to the Kings, but I'm pretty sure that that is over now, based on some of Rob Blake's comments in his media availability today. But we don't know where Brandon Saad is going yet. That has not come out. I've heard him rumored to go to Pittsburgh. which would be probably great for him. He's originally from the Pittsburgh area, but he's someone who the Kings had been potentially linked to, but that one looks like it's not going to be happening. We do have some former Kings and some former Reign players on the move. As I mentioned earlier, Troy Grosnick is going to Buffalo to be a part of their organization. Mikey Essamont, who came up through the Kings, was a pretty major player for the Reign, signed a 2-year deal with the Winnipeg Jets, so he will possibly get an NHL opportunity that he wasn't going to get here with us. Luke Shen, who was briefly a King, is going to Vancouver on a 2-year deal, so I don't know what Vancouver's doing, but okay, cool. Trevor Lewis is going to Calgary and is going to be reunited with Daryl Sutter, so that move makes a ton of sense because Trevor Lewis, Daryl Sutter loved him, so I can't wait to see first-line Trevor Lewis playing for the Flames. Matt Luff, who was not qualified by the Kings, is headed to Nashville on a 1-year deal. Given Nashville's issue with depth and some of their issues with injuries that they had last year, he could also be getting a more substantial NHL opportunity than he would with the Kings. Mike Amadio is headed to the Leafs on a 1-year deal. Roland McKeon, who was briefly a Kings prospect before he got traded to Carolina, signed a 1-year deal with the Colorado Avalanche. Martin Jones, our good friend Martin Jones, is headed to Philadelphia. He was bought out by the San Jose Sharks, thus ending his unfortunate reign with San Jose, which just basically nosedived after 2018 or so. So he is going to Philadelphia to back up Carter Hart. Nate Thompson, who was briefly a King a couple years ago, he's also headed to Philadelphia for 1 year. No one knows why, because he's bad at hockey. Jonathan Bernier, who was also in that pipeline of guys behind Jonathan Quick who never got the opportunity here, is going to the Devils on a 2-year deal. He was traded to Carolina, or the rights to negotiate with him were traded to Carolina, and then Carolina couldn't come to a deal with him, and he walked and went to New Jersey. Derek Forbert is headed to Boston on a 3-year deal, average value of $3 million a year. Good luck, Boston. He's real average. I don't think anything has changed for him over the years. I think that he is still average. Alec Martinez, alas, our dreams of having him return to the Kings have been dashed. He signed a 3-year deal with the Vegas Golden Knights, saying that he really believes in that room and believes they can get it done and blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, Alec. I'm really sorry to like not have to like you anymore, but that's the way it is. He's 33 years old, so this could be his last big chance to cash in. It's a $5.25 million average cap hit with Vegas. And that's kind of it for guys with Kings ties who are signing deals right now. Of course, there are tons of players who are still free agents who still could have movement, but those are the guys that we have previously cared about. One of the other big moves that I think surprised some people, Philip Grubauer is headed to Seattle, which means that Colorado doesn't have a goalie now. I don't really know what's going on there, but Seattle, it looks like, will have the tandem of Philip Grubauer and Chris Dreger, who came to prominence this past season with Florida, which means they have an extra goalie in Vitek Vanacek, who they could trade for assets or something, or, I don't know, do something else with him. But it looks like that is the starting twosome for Seattle. Lots of goalie movement, lots of teams not entirely knowing what's going on with their goalie situation. The Carolina Hurricanes are going with Frederik Andersen and Antti Raanta, so they have goalies, but guaranteed they're both going to get hurt pretty soon. Peter Mrazek, formerly in Carolina, is headed to Toronto to back up our good friend Jack Campbell. James Reimer headed from Carolina to San Jose to do something there. It's going to be Reimer and Aiden Hill. I don't know how that's going to go, but they're free from Martin Jones, I believe. There's just a lot of intrigue at the goalie position, and it makes me very glad that we don't have anything chaotic going on and that the only thing we have to deal with is kind of a garbage fire in Garrett Sparks as a person. So, you know, things could definitely be worse. And looking at some of these deals that have been handed out today, man, there's going to be a lot of regret in the near future for some of these teams. Yeah, some of these guys are just going to be making a ton of money, and I don't think they're going to age very well. Dougie Hamilton, of course, the big free agent defenseman after Carolina kind of lowballed him, he came in with a 7-year deal with the New Jersey Devils for an average of $9 million. So New Jersey is at least committing to getting better, to not being quite as sad as they were before. A lot of players headed to Montreal. Mike Hoffman is going there for 3 years. People clearly want to be there, despite some of their recent controversies, but that run to the cup, I think, got a lot of attention. We, of course, are going to see more movement, and we'll keep you up to date on everything that's happening here. And like I said, we'll be talking with some people who have watched Phil Deneau and watched Alexander Edler and get to learn a little bit more about them. We also still have more draft stuff coming up. I've got a special episode coming up looking solely at Brandt Clark. I'm going to do some overview stuff on the draft as a whole. So keep listening to Locked On Los Angeles Kings to keep up with all of that stuff. That is it for today. In the meantime, you can find me at Writes at Sarah on Twitter. The show is at Locked On LA Kings on Twitter. Give me a follow, say hello, ask me questions, tell me what you want to hear on the show, especially as we get past free agency and into the blah part of the offseason. I would love to hear from you and know what you want to be hearing about on this show. Leave a rating or a review if you're enjoying what you're hearing. Go tell Apple, iTunes, whatever, that you think we're great and give us 5 stars, and that will be awesome. Make sure you come back tomorrow and every day after this, because you have followed us or subscribed to us on your podcast app of choice, so you'll never miss an episode. And you want to be here because we're going to tell you all sorts of cool stuff about all of our new Kings. So that's it for today. Until next time, this has been Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.